Welcome to the Virgo Shift podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Jessica.
Hey, welcome back. Let's get started.
All right, guys, we couldn't get rid of Jessica. She stayed around and is back for another episode.
So I'm going to put this out there. Like, I'm thinking this might be something we do even more regular, because it's nice having a female perspective here, you know?
Yeah, it's the right one.
That reminds me of something my wife said one time. We were arguing over different opinions on things. She said, "Of course I think my opinion's right, or I wouldn't have it."
Right? Yeah, so what do you think about that?
I think Aaron is onto something.
Not that. I'm not talking about that. I'm thinking about just, you know, we want to open up to a new audience. I mean, we got like 10 men listening. Well, we have 11 people. Jessica's one normal, regular listener.
I do. I listen to you guys every week.
So we need to open it up. We want more women to listen and be involved. And I mean, yeah.
I was just thinking, too, it'd be kind of cool to have Chris come in and give his perspective of the same story and see the difference between the perspectives.
Just put him on the spot. Yeah. So, Chris, why'd you say no? We're all waiting. <That's right.
laughs> Oh, I love the story about how they met and that whole thing about, you know, maybe you tell that story, but I think there was a one-sided thing there in the beginning.
Yeah, Tommy was asking about University of Memphis. We both went there, and Chris actually changed some of his classes to have classes with me because he had the likes for me.
That's just called strategy.
Yeah, so I had to see him every day.
Yeah. I wonder if that would be his perspective.
It's 100% his story.
I could just see
story.
Him following you, like waiting for you to drop something so he can pick
sure
it up.
Did.
Like pushing other guys out of the way.
Yeah, like, and I wasn't that bright. I was like, oh, wow, what a coincidence. We have class together. Not even a little bit of a coincidence. Yeah.
Like, I'm not even registered for this class.
All right, that's funny. So, hey, you guys, I'm going to share something with you. I'm a little proud of myself.
Okay.
All right, you know, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about working out, exercising. So I set a goal for myself this last week to walk 20 miles, and I achieved that goal. Got a little over 20 miles. I did my regular workouts with, you know, weights, and things went really good.
And you threw it all away. Tell us what you did, Tommy.
I was yelling at me. Yeah. So my wife and your wife, Jeff, went out of town on a little trip. So, I mean, I was unsupervised.
And what'd you eat?
What'd you eat, Tommy?
Well, which day?
No. What didn't you eat, Tommy?
Vegetables. lean meat. So, she doesn't even know this.
Too late now. Can't turn back. What'd you eat?
So, the first night they left, like immediately they left, and I think I ordered like two pizzas and the brownies.
Two pizzas for you and Mason? Wow.
Yeah. Well, and Mason was out. and so then I went hunting the next morning, and pretty much the whole time I was hunting, I was thinking about what I was going to eat that day. Isn't that bad? That's bad.
I mean, what I've always done, you know, when it comes to working out and having a good run, working out, you know, good track record, and then you fall on your face, as I always call that, just a reward for how well you've been doing.
I like that.
And then you get back on track.
Yeah. I like that.
You can turn it around, man.
So then, you want to know what else I had? So then I had carne asada fries, loaded fries from this place called Jose's. Oh, it's so good.
That's like 3 days of calories in one meal.
Yeah.
It's a reward.
Yep.
Congratulations.
See? Yep.
Eat through this 20 miles.
You win.
You win.
Congratulations. You're back to par.
But Jeff doesn't get off that easy either. Jeff, how about you?
Well, I had more than a 17-year-old son to take care of. I had four boys, and so there was a lot of pizza making, and so a lot of grazing and surviving mode. But, yeah, I didn't do well either. Not going to lie.
Remembering what Jessica said last week, seems like we need to be adopted and go to eat at her house. I mean, So anyway, yeah. All right.
But the reason why we have Jessica back is obviously a very cool story of adoption. Antonio taking in, you know, a young man and that whole story. But also, I think what's interesting is in this whole theme of just obeying the Lord when he speaks and when he's prompting his, you know, his people, his children to kind of do something. And we may not understand all of the details. We did learn that Jessica and Jeff very much just run and go forward. Tommy and I are more processors. But
Wait, so now we're on the same team?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're back. I had time to think about it.
Okay, cool.
Process it. But what's really cool is, Jessica, like, you're like, in what you do and your passion, your, you know, your profession, like, that's prompted you in a lot of ways to further do kind of what the Lord has prompted you to do and obey him with things. So share with us kind of, you know, high level what you do, and kind of we'll talk about how that, you know, has morphed into you doing things with that gift.
So when I went to college, I had no idea what I wanted to major in. I knew I wanted to be a teacher, and I knew I wanted to coach basketball, and I wanted to go back to my high school and coach. So I was looking down the list of majors, and I didn't see anything, nothing looked interesting. And then special education, what is that? You know, because when we were growing up, special education was those kids on that hall in that building, and there just wasn't a lot of, we didn't see them. We didn't see the students. And so I kind of was like, special education, what is that? And, looked it up, and I thought, that might be something I can do. I had no frame of reference at all. It just kind of sounded interesting.
All you knew is that this guy, Chris, wanted to learn about it too, right?
Well, I didn't even know Chris. He was nowhere in my circle at that point. I was just, I got to declare a major. And what have we learned about me? I just jump and I saw special education and I thought, let's go. I don't know what it is, but let's go.
Yeah, I don't know that guy, but he's in all my classes and he's pretty cool. Like, down to earth, and I wonder what he's majoring in. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. You know, so you're a special ed teacher, and we're going to get more into that and where that's leading you and where that's led you. But I want to take a quick step back and talk about what happened after you adopted Antonio, after you and which happened, you know, through God's guidance and orchestration of all of these events. And one of those events was you couldn't have a child, another child. But
we had been to the top fertility specialist in the city, in the metro area, and he said no. And so we really knew that this was closed. We had our daughter, we had Antonio, and we were good. We were like, look how this worked out. We got a girl and a boy, and we're going to be done raising kids here in just a hot second. And we were very at peace, and we were just in awe, really, of how God had orchestrated everything. And so we adopted Antonio in December. And then the next November, I found out I was pregnant. Wow. And out of the, nowhere on the horizon of expectation. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about.
I laughed very hard.
You go back to that fertility specialist and be like,
what?
Yeah, or like, go back.
I know you're the top fertility specialist in the metro area, but you're not the top fertility specialist.
I like where y'all's mind. Yeah, y'all's mind goes there. I'm like, man, I'm reaching back out to everybody we sold our stuff to and be like, hey, yes, I'm going to need to get
that. The neat thing about that was because I was advanced in years, as my doctor referred to me as, all of my friends were done having kids. And so they just lavished us with all of their stuff.
Nice.
And so we were given everything we needed for Harris to be born. But yeah, so we had two children, and then all of a sudden we had two children and a baby. And so Harris has never known anything but Antonio being in our family. And that's
cool.
His brother, and they are solid tight. He loves his brother. Yeah.
That's funny. I've got two friends, same situation in regards to adoption, and they couldn't have children, and so they followed the Lord's leading into adoption. And as soon as they adopted, they got pregnant. And one in particular was this one couple. They were serving as missionaries overseas, and they lived on the 9th floor, no elevator. They adopted brothers from Ethiopia, got home, I found out she was pregnant with twins. So they had four kids, like, under the age of three on the ninth floor.
I just love how God plays stuff out.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my word.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So I bet they got their cardio in.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They're definitely not ordering what you ordered. I mean, that's a lot of money to...
Well, they could, and they'd walk it off on one trip. You
know? Wow. So, all right. So let's dive into this. So we've covered how the Lord has provided for you guys and your family and how cool all of that is. But now I want us to focus on what the Lord called you to do through special education and what doors that's opened ministry-wise.
Okay. So I've been a special education teacher now. This is my 25th year in special education. And I'm actually a behavior specialist in my district right now. I travel to different schools. I didn't have any frame of reference of special education when I started majoring in it. But as soon as I got into it, man, I was all in. It's my heart. It's my passion. A couple of years ago, I went to you, actually, Jeff, mm-hmm. and said, hey, you know, I just think that we need to get something going at our church. And if we're going to be for our community, there are people sitting at home because they don't have a place where they feel safe to go and where their kids can learn about the Lord on their level. And they're not able to go to church. And so we started having conversations and we came up with our name, Wonderfully Made. And we started reaching out to the community. We had a community event at the church. We really had our hands out there reaching out to people. We had some people attending. And then COVID
right.
just train wrecked everything.
Yeah, all the momentum went away.
All the momentum. Wheels came out from under us. Yeah.
But I remember, I mean, the way you described special education when you were trying to pick out a major mm-hmm. and thinking about when we were in elementary school and that kind of thing, and they were in that classroom and there was no inclusion in the regular classes mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. I mean, even more so in the church, even more behind as far as like, hey, we need to have this going on. Mm-hmm. And so we recognize the need, but as most churches, like finding volunteers just to help mm-hmm. on a regular basis is one thing. Now to find people that are skilled and trained and equipped to handle special education, mm-hmm. special needs, all that goes with that. But man, what a tremendous ministry this has turned out to be.
Yeah. And during that time, we actually did training for people in-house who were just interested. We did some behavior training, what is special education? Mm-hmm. We did that.
Mm-hmm. So you went through that pretty quickly when you described that. And I just want to take a quick step back and highlight. I love the name. When the ministry first started at the church, that stood out to me like, wow, what a name for such an awesome ministry. Can you talk about, I mean, how did that come about?
Well, and Jeff, you can speak to this too, because we were going back and forth and we had a lot of ideas and some were awful.
And you should have heard us trying to pick out podcast names.
I was just about to say, we're going to do an episode on that one day.
So Jeff was involved in both of these events. Now I'm seeing a trend. Okay.
Surprised y'all didn't name it anyway.
I don't remember. I think I threw it out and then we kind of just sped past it, but you kept coming back to it mm-hmm. and you said, man, I really like the name Wonderfully Made.
Yeah.
And it just landed once you drew attention to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. Because I don't want anything to draw any negative attention.
Right.
Right. And this is something that we can look at. And I literally talked about it this morning with the kids and through the lesson of like, God doesn't, you know, we were looking at Joshua and we were looking at Rahab and mm-hmm. we said, you know, God didn't look at Joshua and go like, hey, you're awesome. You're a great leader. I need you. God doesn't need any of us. Mm-hmm. And he didn't look at Rahab and say, oh, you're way too messed up. I can't use you. Right. He takes both of those and says, he looks at their heart and says, who's going to be obedient? And I can use anybody that's willing to humble themselves, repent mm-hmm. and follow me. And so looking at that, I was telling the kids, when you look at it in that perspective, it eliminates pride of like, God needs me. And it eliminates this shame of I can't ever be used again. And so kind of looking at it that way and just telling them, hey, God has made you, equipped you to use you. All you have to do is be obedient.
Mm, that's right.
So Jessica, as a OG listener and possibly future co-host, do you know some of the names that we went through before we landed on Vertical Shift?
Oh, y'all. I was like, I don't want to.
Before we landed on vertical shift.
Oh, my
word. I know, Justin. So I just want to say that Jeff redeemed himself by saying, coming back to this idea of Wonderfully Made, because that's a great name.
That is.
Unlike the Lumpy Rug. The Lumpy Rug was one of the names.
Jessica's facial expression says it all. Yep.
It was. But,
oh, Jeff.
And I'm putting myself on Justin's side of the line, but I was kind of on the side of the line of the Lumpy
Rug. Oh, my word.
The Lumpy Rug.
I remember
at
one point,
good.
Jessica, I was like, guys, like, seriously, because they kept coming back to him, like, if it's that, I am out.
Nice.
Like, I just can't even be a part
draw
of
the line.
It just makes
me
want to, like, I just throw up just thinking about Lumpy Rug. It's just so, it's like soggy bread, you know?
So if you're listening to this episode for the first time and you've not listened to any Vertical Shift podcast episodes in the past, go back and listen to some. We will throw in that word in the most obscure places, and then you might hear chuckles and other things. So I think we need to continue doing that. We will. We'll put that in. Little nuggets. Hey, you know, if somebody, I'll tell you what, here we go. If somebody hears us use that word, and they email us at www.vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, we practice that. You will get a t-shirt. How about that?
Boom, first person. Let's do this thing.
So what that means is, hey, email us the episode name and like the time when we said it. And we're looking for the Lumpy Rug, and we will give you a t-shirt.
Wow, that's asking a lot of those 7 listeners. But go back and find that episode. Good job, Tommy.
Wow.
All right. Okay, so bringing us all the way back. So Wonderfully Made is what we landed on. Mm-hmm. And I remember, man, we did this dinner, right? For the community that had kids with special needs, and man, people came, filled it, so excited for something, because so many, to your point, don't have a church home because there's nothing for their kids. If there's nothing for their kids, what's the point in even coming? And so, so they filled up, we got momentum going, COVID hit, breaks on that for everything. Really, we had to pivot and shift and all that stuff. And then once everything kind of got back rolling, we kicked it back off. And so tell us, pick up from there.
Well, once all the restrictions were lifted and we were able to return to church, there was some shift in the people who were interested in it, and it was just me left. And so it kind of sat on the back burner, honestly. I had the excuse in my head, well, I need people. And so I was praying for people, but I wasn't really acting. And I just kept saying, we need people. And nobody was approaching me, so it continued to sit. And that was just kind of there was so much going on, you know, with COVID and our, you know, school was just, it was so difficult. There were so many different things. So I really let it lay there. And the following year, we were doing our discipleship program. And can I mention a book that we did? Okay. So, the book that we did was Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
And
it was difficult to say, but it was about prayer and just, man, this pastor, he is, I think, on our train of we're going to pray about it and we're jumping and God's going to be ahead of it already and work out the details.
Right.
And I really honestly took that book to heart and said, you know what? It's time. Mm-hmm. I don't have workers. I don't care. We're doing this. And so I actually went in front of the church and said, first week in January, we're going. And if you want to be with us, come be with us. We need everybody we can. We need all hands on deck for this ministry to happen. There wasn't a single other person yet signed up to work. Let's go. It'll happen. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed urgently. I asked people around me, I asked our Connect group to pray, our discipleship group every week that was on the list. And I said, I want so many volunteers that we literally have a rotation. I'll do the lesson every week during our first service. I'll have that. If somebody can be with me, a rotation, and then we have a rotation for the second service. Like, that's how many people I want involved. And during that time, we hired a children's director, and she just had a passion for this ministry also and started going after people. And when we started, we had a full roster of volunteers.
Yeah, that's cool.
It just amazing to watch people get interested and get on board.
Yeah.
And that was the meeting that I was thinking about when I mentioned last time is like you were up there, you know, just saying like, hey, like, don't have all the details, don't know what this looks like, but we're going to get rolling. And I'm like, man, that is bold. And I hope she's thought this out and like made her spreadsheet.
Not even a little bit.
But see, that's the thing that I love about it. And, you know, there's another ministry that's trying to get some momentum going. And I was like, let's just start.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start. Mm-hmm. Let's be obedient and let that be what's contagious. And so as soon as people see kids with special needs coming and being a part and they see the need, then a lot of times it's just out of sight, out of mind until they see it and see the need, they won't take that step. And so I loved being a part of that from the beginning. And I loved to see the families that the Lord brought in. Mm-hmm. And some of those families are now leading other ministries.
And that's the most amazing part of this is they're not just coming to church to have a place for their kids. Like they're plugging in.
Yeah.
All of the families who are coming on a regular basis are serving in some capacity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's fruitful for them. It's fruitful for their families, the people to whom they're ministering. I mean, this is just an amazing outreach from our church to the community to bring people in to serve.
And, I mean, and even recently, like, had some families reach out that 35, 40 minutes away that, like, hey, there's no other churches around us doing that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make the drive because it's worth it to come all the way out there. So I think that's incredible.
You know, I think when we think about just your story going back through all this and how all of these seemingly random pieces are put together, this puzzle that leads up to this moment and this point, this ministry, that's just how when you take the 10,000 foot view, how awesome God is, and just nothing gets by him. I mean, it's, and there's, you know, there's not a lot of coincidence.
Well, and Jessica mentioned, you know, like always, you know, in the story last time and this time, like the Lord's moving ahead, you know, and kind of that book that you mentioned too, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. But like, that's where it goes all the way back to like, hey, you have a passion for this. Like, you didn't know what major you were picking, but now you're in it however many years and you love it, you know, and then to have a heart for it and for people. And like, that's the cool thing and how he is in the details. And it's led to some really cool things because, I remember you talking about this when the ministry was kind of either about to get started or after it was, and you were kind of letting folks know how it was going. Like, just the things that you mentioned, like, you know, these families especially don't always have the opportunity to feel like they can bring their kids, like not just church, but just anywhere because of maybe some of the challenges that they deal with or the special things that are needed. And so to be able to create that space where like they feel like they can come, they have this for their kids during service, right? And their kids are being taken care of. They can go to a service and enjoy it knowing their kids are taken care of, or
and not, you know, that their kids are just being tolerated.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're in a position because of Jessica's expertise and training and on all of that, like the classroom is made for them to thrive and to have headphones if they need it, to have a certain seating style or whatever that is accommodating to them. All those things. I can just imagine as a parent walking in being like, man,
well,
this is
and that's
awesome.
To the credit of the church, because Jeff, when we first started, said, make a wish list, ask, put whatever you want on it. And I really thought the church was going to make this purchase. And so I put everything I could think on it, including a moon bounce. I thought, why not reach for the moon with a big, huge inflatable moon bounce? Why not put it on there? Go big or go home, right? We're doing this. And he cut up the list and put it on the backboard of the church, and folks went by and took it. I did not know that's what was going to happen. I really thought the church was going to purchase all of these things, but the people did.
Mm-hmm.
And our director was like, Jessica, it is coming in daily. We're getting things in. My office is full. It's such a blessing. Come up here and look. And it was just better than Christmas because I knew what it was going to go for. You know, and I just want to say we have a lot of sensory equipment. We have a lot of toys. We have a lot of stuff, but we don't just play. Mm-hmm. And that was something I was pretty intent on. We have prayer every week. We sit down. We go around the circle. Everybody mentions who they want to pray for. And every week, y'all, these kids are praying for their families. And we are sure to do that with them. We have a time of prayer. They pray together. We open up God's word every week. We read scripture. We do activities with scripture. Scripture goes home. So it's not just a safe place for kids to come play and hang out and be loved on. Yeah. I really want them to learn Jesus and Jesus made them and Jesus made them special and their families, and that we can pray for them and their families.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, like with all of that, like this whole theme we've been talking about and just like obeying when the Lord nudges, prompts, like it's our step to obey when we hear him speaking and we know he's calling us to do something. So that's not always easy. You know, it's easy to kind of think about praying about things, but to the point that we would get there and pray about it and then we hear him speak and then we got to obey that. That's not always easy. So in all of that, how would you say like you've just seen the goodness of the Lord and just like trusting him and obeying, like just in the two stories you mentioned, right, with Antonio and all that. And then like, you know, Wonderfully Made, like what do you see from that?
I think that it's so easy for me to step out in faith and just jump and run when God speaks, because I can look back over, and I'm almost 48, I can look back over almost 48 years of God's faithfulness in my life. And he's always been ahead. He's always lined it up where he was leading and guiding me. He had people in my life who poured into me. I mean, it hadn't been an easy life, but the Lord has always been so faithful. And it's just easy for me to say he'll continue to be that way. He always has just shown such incredible love and grace for me. And I am not that bright sometimes. I make big mistakes a lot of times, but God has never not been there. And so when I feel like he's ready to go, I'm ready to go, because I just want to stay on the journey with him.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest thing about your story, is because I look at it from a perspective of my own story. And there's many times when you're in the middle of it, I go back to you at the University of Memphis being like, special education, why not? You know, nobody else is doing that. Like, what is that thing, right? But you go back to that and you see that as like, I didn't really truly know what I was getting into. And then I met Chris. And then I started this career. Mm-hmm. I had Antonio in my class, led to his adoption. And then the Lord used all of that. We had our son.
Yeah.
And now it opened up this whole door for ministry in our church. And you just see God's faithfulness when all you step out in obedience.
Right. Yeah.
So to your point, the next time you're challenged to step out, you're like, why wouldn't I?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There's no reason why I wouldn't.
You see the thread that's being woven from all the way back then to now. And to Jeff, your point, you see that in so many instances, like it's got to build a confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Go like, man, like why? Like he doesn't play gotcha. You know, he's not like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to bring you here, and then I'm going to pull the rug out from underneath you. But it's like, man, you're just confident. Like, man, I've seen him do things and he's going to continue.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the age group right now for Wonderful Made?
So right now, we have, anywhere from 3 years old to middle school. We've grown, and, we have, I knew this was coming because all of our kids at one time were the same age and they've just grown older. And so I kind of have been looking down the road. What's that going to look like? And people would ask me, what's that going to look like? I don't even know. I don't even know as these kids grow older. A couple weeks ago, I was by myself. My worker was late, and I mean, life happens, right? And everybody enrolled in our group was there. And so I had all the way from three to middle school. We had two visitors, and it was just me. It was hot back there. And I had one who was running around the room, and one of our sensory toys with red gel and glitter burst all over the floor, and the three-year-old wanted to go get in it. And it was chaos, right? And so I was like, we can't do this anymore. No more. We've got to accommodate the growth that we've had. So I had my husband come in, who is the logistic planner. That's why God put us together, right? Because at some point we do need to pull back and plan and make accommodations. And so we actually have two rooms now, and I have been praying for a while for a second. I need a partner in this ministry. And I've been praying for a specific person, and this specific person answered the call and said, yes, I'm on board. Let's go. So now we have two people who, and her experience is exactly what I needed, and hers is more with littles. And so as we grow and we get kids of different ages, I've got a content expert for the littles, and then I'm more with the olders. We have two rooms. We have a room that's sensory and play and fun, and then we have our room where we do our lesson and our prayer. So we've accommodated the growth. And again, God was there.
So I want to ask too, like, what's next? You know, when you think down the road, what's bigger than this church?
Man, I think she's told. I mean, when she feels it, she's going to run. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering. You know, I know that there's other churches and be listening to this and be like, hey, we need something similar to that. Can we call Jessica and get some training, some ideas? You know, can we franchise this deal and get
Did
it
you
out?
Just say franchise.
What other word?
Oh, my
word. What other word is there? Seriously. What other word is there?
No, sir.
Let me take the mic from Tommy.
I know exactly what you're saying, though.
Yes,
exactly.
It made sense.
Yeah, the intent was there. The words were off. Yeah.
Right. We're not making money off of this.
That doesn't mean you're making money. And so I just expect that our faithful listeners are going to send some hate mail back to Justin on that.
They already don't remember the email. It's so long.
But yes, I could see us... especially with churches around us that are kind of growing as well, when they see that need, kind of stepping out and asking questions. We've even had a church reach out to us here recently just about children's ministry and growing and organization of all of that. So I'm sure that'll be next. But man, it's just so exciting. And to look further ahead, we've even had a family here recently that's been visiting that has an adult child that has autism. And they're like, tell me about that wonderfully made ministry. Would it be possible for him to come in and help the kids?
That's cool.
And so just seeing how that's opening up more and more doors of that in that regard. And so I see it growing, and I'm excited for what's there. I don't know how it's going to happen or what it's going to look like, but it's just fun to be on the journey with you, Jessica. It's pretty cool. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Again, it's so fun to see... Once again, the whole picture of how God takes all of these things and weaves them together perfectly for his glory. So thank you for being a part of it. Thank you guys
for
listening.
Me.